Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dean Baker, who's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank based in Washington, D.C. His books include Taking Economics Seriously, False Profits, Recovering from the Bubble Economy, and The Conservative Nanny State, How the Wealthy Use the Government to Stay Rich and Get Richer. He also writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press, and his latest e-book is The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, No One Died at Healthcare.gov, The Phony Crisis of Obamacare. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dean Baker.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Ian.
And it does seem that given the toll that this botched launch of Healthcare.gov has taken on the president and on his signature achievement, the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, the latest polls indicate that he's at an all-time low in the polls. And we keep seeing pictures of this morose-looking, wounded president. So you're suggesting here that his demise is being exaggerated and this is something of a phony crisis?
Well, exactly. It really, you know, I've been trying to say with this is, you know, we should keep our eyes on the ball here. What's happened to date is people have been trying to get on the website and sign up for the insurance. And, you know, I haven't been trying to sign up for insurance, but I've had the experience of trying to do things on a website and be frustrated with it. It's not a lot of fun. But that's not exactly a disaster. And, you know, point is we want people to be able to continue with their insurance. They have to be able to sign up by December 15th to be eligible for January 1st. We still have a ways to go. You could get on other ways. So at this point, we don't even know there's been a single person that has been unable to get insurance because of this. So people have been frustrated on the website. That shouldn't have happened. That was clearly a big blunder. But this isn't quite a catastrophe. You know, I made the reference, no one died at healthcare.gov. New York Times had a big front page headline comparing this to Katrina, where people, of course, 1,900 people did die. So this has really been blown out of proportion hugely.
So what was, do you think, behind that New York Times article that featured Lori Gottlieb, a 46-year-old psychotherapist living here in Los Angeles?
Well, just to be clear, that actually was separate. That was a column. Lori Gottlieb wrote a column in the Times complaining that she was losing her insurance policy. So, again, this is a separate issue, which, again, has been blown up, that we have people losing insurance policies. And this has, again, been made into this big thing. President Obama said you could keep your insurance, and yet there are many people around the country with individual insurance policies that are finding that they're canceled. And here, you know, there's a couple things going on. First, can you keep your insurance? Well, the vast, vast majority of people who were insured as of 2010 can keep their insurance, either because it was a grandfathered plan, individual plan. Not that many in that boat, as people pointed out, but some people are. The individual plans that were in existence as of 2010 could stay in existence regardless of whether they meet the conditions. And secondly, most people who have insurance have it through their employer. And again, there are very few employers could decide anything they want, but they're not doing that because of the ACA. So the vast majority of people who had insurance in place as of 2010 can keep their plans. What's been the big issue is insurers were offering plans 2011, 2012, and even in the current year that they know didn't comply with the rules of the ACA so that they no longer would be able to offer them after December 31st of this year. So those people are being told by their insurers now that, oh, guess what, January 1st, you'll have to get new insurance. And that's, you know, okay, you know, that's really unfortunate, but the reality is, if an insurer was offering a plan to someone in July, in May of this year, you know, which most of these plans are fairly new, and they didn't tell them, I have a little hard time seeing that as a horrible sin on Obama's part. Again, it would have been great had Obama been clearer, you know, this is only applying to, you know, the plans that were in effect as of 2010. But where you had insurers offering plans that they knew they'd have to cancel after January 1st, and they didn't tell the people that were buying them, that doesn't look to me like President Obama's fault.
So do you think that it's obvious that the Republicans smell blood in the water and they're absolutely gleeful and the Democrats are scared to death, but are the insurance companies also smelling blood in the water and doing what they can to undermine it? What I find extraordinary about this whole situation is that nobody as everybody piles on about this healthcare.gov crash and the glitches and how the sky is falling, nobody is mentioning that if you go back to the status quo ante, to this broken healthcare system, you couldn't be worse off. I mean, who can defend the status quo ante? I mean, even if this thing hasn't got up and running yet, at least it's going to be an improvement on what we had. But now it seems that the propaganda is so intense here that this is a catastrophe that, you know, people are basically wanting to get their old policies back as if they were any damn good to begin with.
Well, again, this is why I was writing the piece, is that I think this is something that's been blown out of proportion. Obviously, the opponents of the Affordable Care Act, Republicans mostly, they see this as something to make a big deal. And this is, you know, the Republicans have done this. You know, Democrats do this too, so I'm not going to say Republicans are the only ones that make big issues out of things that may not be big issues. But clearly they've done this, and I guess I blame the media for picking up on that, that, like, yes, the Republicans are yelling, you know, the sky is falling because of what President Obama is doing. They've always done that. And, you know, that when you have reporters that hear the Republicans jumping up and down yelling and screaming, they should approach the issue with, yes, Republicans are jumping up and down yelling and screaming because that's what they do, rather than running front page articles about this is Hurricane Katrina. So that's really where I see the problem lying. And, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, are we going to go back to the old system? What's the plan here? And, you know, again, my line here is that, you know, you keep your eye on the ball, people will be able to sign up for insurance. In fact, as I understand it, the exchanges are working much better now. And, of course, many states, California being one of them, has their own exchange that, as I understand, works quite well. So people are signing up for insurance. And I have to imagine that this is going to be a huge, huge deal. I mean, I think of my own situation. My wife has a chronic condition. And, you know, if we were to, my employment situation were to change, we'd pay a fortune for insurance in the private market. And, you know, there's a lot of people in that situation. And knowing that, you know, if something happened, you quit your job, you lose your job, you could just go on an exchange and get an insurance package that, you know, for the most part, you know, I've had arguments being affordable. What's affordable? We could argue about that. But the point is, if you have a pre-existing condition, you will be able to get insurance for a hell of a lot cheaper through the exchange than would be the case with the current system.
And again, I'm speaking with Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank in Washington, D.C. His books include Taking Economics Seriously, False Prophets, Recovering from the Bubble Economy, and The Conservative Nanny State, How the Wealthy Use the Government to Stay Rich and Get Richer. He also writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press, and his latest e-book is The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And he also has an article at the Huffington Post, No One Died at Healthcare.gov, The Phony Crisis over Obamacare. So we have clearly at the moment the wind is not at the president's back. I imagine, though, and a lot of people have predicted that this will actually get up and running relatively soon, and eventually this crisis will be over. Do you think that there will be any lessons learned here on the part of the Democrats, who are certainly not stepping up in defense of the president and his efforts to reform this broken healthcare system that costs us 18% of the GDP, which is about twice as what it costs other advanced democracies and industrial countries? You know, obviously we could talk about it should have been Medicare, it should have been expanded Medicare for all, it should have been single payer, it should have been the system that the rest of the world have, should have had a public option, all of those should haves. But do you think anybody's going to say, you know, wait a minute, maybe we drank the Kool-Aid of the free market here with this, after all, was an invention of the Heritage Foundation, and it was first employed by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. So all of those Democrats who seem to have drunk the Kool-Aid over that the free market cures all, do you think they're having a hangover?
Well, I think no one could be happy with what this thing looks like, and clearly it's more complex than need be, in the sense that if, you know, anyone were designing a system from scratch, no one in their right mind would come up with anything like this. So in that sense, you know, one hopes they've learned. But, you know, in my view, the idea we're going to have the ACA and then we're done with healthcare reform, No. I mean, we're going to have a lot of things that have to be fixed. We still have a lot of people that aren't going to be covered. Certainly the immigrant population's not covered, but many others, you know, aren't going to be covered. And we have to do more to get our costs under control. But it seems to me the main thing is get the thing in place, see where you can make changes. One of the obvious, you know, people have made the points that in a number of markets you just have one or two insurers there. Well, that seems to just beg for more competition. So that seems a great opportunity. How about a public option there? Let Medicare serve these markets, because the private sector voted with its feet that it doesn't want to. So, you know, let's see about getting Medicare in there. I mean, these are the things we have to do. We're still paying way too much for our doctors. Our doctors get about twice what doctors get in Canada and West Europe, wherever you want to look. We pay too much for our drugs. I mean, there's all these issues that we have to deal with to get our costs more in line with the rest of the world. But, you know, to my view, first thing is, you know, let's get this in place, see what works, see what doesn't, and, you know, get back to then fixing it. But, you know, first thing, get this in place, get people covered, and then, you know, work from that point forward.
But it does seem that most of this is psychological as opposed to factual. And I suppose in many ways, this has always been a to get over a psychological hump, because there's been so much hostility to the idea of healthcare reform in the build-up to the launch of this. And, you know, that's clearly that political environment made single payer, you know, was so inhospitable that single payer wasn't really considered. So is this what's going on here, that because of the uncertainty that this launch, this botched launch of healthcare.gov, has just played right into the uncertainty, and that this is really a psychological situation as opposed to a real disaster?
Well, absolutely played into that, because, again, remember what the Republicans have been saying. They've been, you know, we had death panels. You know, they've been calling this socialism. They've been calling it slavery. I mean, really, I'm not making that up. I mean, you could find no shortage of Republican politicians. I mean, members of Congress. These are ostensibly respected people in the Republican Party who are saying these things. So they created this real doomsday scenario. We're a job killer. We're going to lose millions of jobs. We had people saying we were already losing jobs because of Obamacare. This was even in, you know, 2010, 2011, before almost anything about the bill took effect. So they've been building up fears about Obamacare ever since it was passed, or really even before it was passed. And now they finally have something concrete. And, you know, again, it's a horrible blunder. It's, you know, amazing how ill-prepared they were for the rollout date. You know, you have at least thought they would have known, if it wasn't ready for prime time, that they would have been able to say, okay, it's not ready. We're going to, if you don't delay the opening, try and discourage people so you don't overload the site. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what would have been the best thing to do, but surely they should have known October 1st that they didn't have a website that was ready for prime time, and they don't seem to have been aware of that fact. Huge, huge blunder. But again, the reality that, you know, I think we have to just keep coming back to is we had people annoyed that they had to waste time on a website, which everyone can understand. That's a real annoyance. But, and no doubt some people are fearful that they aren't going to have insurance. But as of this date, now one person actually has gone uninsured because of this botched website rollout. So, yeah, it's totally a psychological story.
So just in the last minute then, apart from yourself, who is making this point? I mean, it feels like the momentum is all against the president here, and he's not exactly standing up. He keeps apologizing. Maybe he should be, you know, listening to what you're saying.
I wish they would. I mean, you know, again, the story with the insurers, you know, I feel bad if someone signed up for insurance in June and is finding out it's being canceled. But, you know, again, if an insurer offered the policy in June, they knew what the requirements of the law were, and they didn't tell someone. Again, if I'm President Obama, I'd say, I feel bad you're being burned, but, you know, your complaint is with the insurer. So, yeah, you know, I would love to see President Obama, see the Democrats in Congress stand up and say, look, you know, there's things to complain about the bill, but for the most part, that's not what we're talking about here.
Well, Dean Baker, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Dean Baker, who's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank in Washington, D.C. His books include Taking Economics Seriously, False Profits, Recovering from the Bubble Economy, and The Conservative Nanny State, How the Wealthy Use the Government to Stay Rich and Get Richer. He also writes the popular economics blog Beat the Press, and his latest e-book is The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. And his latest article at the Huffington Post is No One Died at Healthcare.gov, The Phony Crisis of Obamacare. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by